Here's the big challenge of life. You can have more than you've got because you can become more than you are. That's the challenge. And of course, the other side of the coin reads, unless you change how you are, you'll always have what you got. Success is something you attract, not something you pursue. Success is looking for a good place to stay. So instead of going after it, you work on yourself, personal development. See, the major question to ask on the job is not what are you getting? The major question to ask on the job is what are you becoming? See, the big question is not what am I getting paid here? The big question is what am I becoming here? Because true happiness is not contained in what you get. Happiness is contained in what you become.
It's a very common idea. And I figured out why that is, I think. So imagine that we already know from a clinical perspective that, you know, if you set out a path towards a goal, which you want to do because you need a goal and you need a path, because that provides you with positive emotion, right? So you set up something as valuable. So that implies a hierarchy. You set up something as valuable. You decide that you're going to do that instead of other things. So that's kind of a sacrifice, because you're sacrificing everything else to pursue that. And then you experience a fair bit of positive emotion and meaning as you watch yourself move towards the goal. And so the implication of that is the better the goal, the more full and rich your experience is going to be when you pursue it. So that's one of the reasons that's one of the reasons for developing a vision and for fleshing yourself out philosophically, because you want to aim at the highest goal that you can manage. Okay, so you do that. And then what you'll find is that as you move towards the goal, there are certain things that you have to accomplish that frighten you, because it's going to stretch you if you pursue a goal. And so that'll put you up against challenges. Okay, so all the clinical data indicates, well, the opposite of safe spaces, as Jonathan Haidt has been pointing out, that what you want to do when you identify something that someone is avoiding, that they need to do because they're afraid, you have them voluntarily confront it.
I want to have this much experience and be able to do this by 30 days from now, 60 days from now, 6 months from now. And finally, that 6 months passes, and there you are. Finally, the time passes, and you have it. Finally, the time passes, and the skill is now beginning to be polished, and it is so unique and effective. Achieving is an incredible source of inspiration.
But the power of doing a better habit each day, or casting a little vote for that type of person, is that now you have evidence to root your belief in.
Occasionally, and this is true for everybody, if you live long enough, life will come for you at some point, right? Like something's going to happen. So occasionally life will stress you. But when life doesn't challenge you, I think it's important to challenge yourself.
You can decide to design something to make your good behaviors easier and your bad behaviors harder. So when it comes to habits, if you want to practice your guitar more frequently, put it right in the middle of your living room so you run across all the time. If you want to read more, when you make your bed in the morning, take the book you want to read, put it on top of the pillow. When you come back that night, pick it up, read a few pages, go to sleep. That small improvements, tiny habits, little choices are not just a cherry on top of our performance, not just like a nice thing to have, but actually can be the key that unlocks significant success. What's interesting here is that everybody wants a transformation, right? Everybody wants a radical improvement, want rapid success, but we fail to realize that small habits and little choices are transforming us every day already. That these times when you make a choice that's slightly better, slightly worse, a little mistake or a small error, 1% better, 1% worse, that these things compound over time. And habits are the compound interest of self-improvement. And so if you can learn to master those, then you can make time work for you rather than get against you, right? Good habits make time your ally. Bad habits make time your enemy.
How much time do you waste? So then I get the class to vote. How many of you waste 10 hours a day? It's like 10% of the kids will put up their hands. And it's interesting because I don't define what constitutes waste. I just ask the question. So they're diagnosing themselves, right? I'm not saying you're wasting 10 hours a day. I'm just asking. It's like, given your own attitude, how much time are you wasting?
So many people are waiting. You're waiting for things to be perfect. You're waiting for everyone to get themselves together. You're waiting for someone to invite you into the room. You're waiting for someone to give you a seat at the table. You're waiting for someone to validate your gift. You're waiting for someone to call your name. You're waiting for someone to give you the opportunity. You're waiting for everything to line up. You're waiting for all the situations to come together perfectly. And I'm telling you, you cannot wait. You got to start working right now. Don't wait another minute. Don't wait another moment. Now is your time.
Personal success is built on the foundation of character, and character is the result of hundreds and hundreds of choices you may make that gradually turn who you are at any given moment into who you want to be. If that decision-making process is not present, you'll still be somebody. You'll still be alive. But you may have a personality rather than a character. And to me, that's something very different. Character isn't something you were born with and can't change, like your fingerprints. It's something you weren't born with and that you must take responsibility for forming. There used to be a joke about football teams that lost every game. The coach would say, "We built a lot of character this year, didn't we?" As if character is something that you settle for when you haven't achieved what you really wanted or automatically develops as a result of adversity. I don't buy that. I don't think adversity by itself builds character, and I certainly don't think that success erodes it. You build character by how you respond to what happens in your life, whether it's winning every game or losing every game or getting rich or dealing with hard times. You build character from certain qualities that you must create and diligently nurture within yourself, just like you would plant and water a seed or gather wood to build a campfire. You've got to look for those things in your heart and in your gut. You've got to chisel away in order to find them. Just like chiseling away rock to create the sculpture that has previously existed only in the imagination. But the really amazing thing about character is that if you're sincerely committed to making yourself into the person you want to be, you'll not only create those qualities, you'll strengthen them and recreate them in abundance, even as you're drawing on them every day of your life. That's why building your character is vital, becoming all that you can be. When you are a person of character, you know who you are and where you want to go. You've already spent a great deal of time thinking about it. You've been working on the parts of your personality that will make you better. Your attitude, your health, your time management skills. You've been putting it all down on paper, and you've developed positive self-direction. As you talk with yourself every day, how often do you ask, is what I am doing today getting me closer to where I want to be tomorrow? Because here's what you don't want to ever do. Kid yourself, kid your neighbor, and kid me in Kid Marketplace if you want to, but don't kid yourself. You can't wait around with your fingers crossed hoping you'll arrive at a good destination when you're not even headed in the right direction. You say, well, maybe the wind will take me. There's a chance, of course, but it's about as likely as winning the lottery. You've got to take charge. Ancient scripture says that hope, if it's delayed long enough, can make the heart sick. You've got to ask yourself, often, am I performing the disciplines that are taking me in the direction that I want to go? I don't want to delude myself and think I'm on the way to financial success when there's not a prayer. I don't want to delude myself into thinking there's someone else who will take care of it. Nobody else is going to take care of it. Nobody else is going to take care of me. What if all of your negative thinking relatives turned positive? What would that do for your fortune and your future? Not much. If prices came down a little, what would that do for your sophistication and your culture? Not much. If the economy gets a little better, what would that do for you? Not much. If you don't make plans of your own, you'll fit into someone else's plans. And what do you think they have planned for you? Not much. Most people wake up every morning counting on this not much list. And that's all they have. Not much. Not much hope. Not much promise. Not much progress. They're driving what they don't want to drive, living what they don't want to live, doing what they don't want to do. Forget the thief waiting in the alley to snatch your purse. What about the thief in your mind? He is tempting you to become lazy, not stimulated by thoughts and questions. Don't become a victim of yourself. ask yourself these questions. Is this the direction that I want for my life? Is it someone else's direction? Is it a goal that has been ingrained in me since my childhood? Is it my parents, my spouses, my boss, or my children's? Is it mine? Ask yourself these questions. Get into the debate of your inner mind. What am I doing that works? What am I doing that doesn't work? Debate it all. Work with your mind to figure out the best possible direction for you. This is your self-direction. There are two parts to positive self-direction. Part one is self-knowledge. Self-knowledge is knowing who you are and what you want to do with your life. It is knowing how you feel about yourself. Self-knowledge has a lot to do with your philosophy, and your philosophy has a lot to do with shaping your attitude. It helps determine how you feel about yourself, about life, about your direction, and about others around you. You've got to gather up enough knowledge and information to know what's right for you. How do you gather up this information? Well, you can start with your own experiences. The best way to know if something works for you, to find the right way, is to do it the wrong way. You can't keep doing it the wrong way. You've got to be smart enough to say, hey, this isn't working, and change it. Start doing it the right way. Then search for the knowledge and apply what's right for you to your life. Develop your own attitudes and philosophies around your own experiences and the experiences of others. Take all of the information you have gathered and compile it. Consider it, debate it, tear it apart, turn it upside down. Look at it from your own perspective and refine it to suit you. Rearrange it. Throw some of it out. Keep what you think will work for you. And most importantly, make sure that what you end up doing is the product of your own conclusion. Make sure that the knowledge that you are building is your own self-knowledge. The second component of positive self-direction is preparation. Being ready for the opportunities when they show up in your life. Being ready for the sales call that may make you a fortune. Being ready for the meeting that may positively affect your career. Being ready for it all, in expectation. It will come. If you wish to be ruler over many, you've got to be faithful with few. If you wish to have power and influence over many, be the leader of many, and get the return from many, be faithful and disciplined when there's just a few. And do it in your own enlightened self-interest, because that gives you the best chance to have power, influence, and a place of honor among the many. Be faithful when there's just a few. Someone says, if I had a big organization, I'd really be on top of things, but I've just got a few employees and I don't know where they are. Come on. When you've just got a few employees, you should know where all of them are. Let's say we were interviewing the parents of a fairly large family whose children have all grown up and gone. What if we said to them, what happened to all of your children? And they answered, I don't know. They just all wandered off. We'd ask, where did they all go? If they say, who knows? They're just all gone. We're just going to have some more. That's clearly not an acceptable attitude. If you've got a few employees, if you've got a few distributors, if you've got a few people you deal with, that's the time to sharpen your communication skills of being in touch, getting prepared, giving the most of your heart and soul in your own enlightened self-interest. Give it your all when there's a few. Be totally absorbed when there's just a few. Improve your reputation and skills, so when a leadership position opens up, you'll be called. The same thing goes with your money. Someone says, oh, if I had a fortune, I'd really take good care of it. But I've only got a small paycheck, and I don't know where it goes. Nobody would ever respond to the person who says, I don't know where it all goes, with, oh, we'd love to have you run our company, or you don't know where it all goes. Wow. You should be in charge of the world. Come on.